Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Now hear me out, because clearly it was brilliant. It was beautiful. It was the best. But once I say all that, wasn't the second half of that Nugget game kind of boring? Like, the Lakers totally quit. The crowd totally quit.
Crowd just pouring out.
Just pouring out.
To the point where they didn't even take crowd shots anymore.
I know
how, you know, like, I know how the TV part works. You're like, everybody's leaving. They're like, let's not get to the crowd.
There was one where Jokic got fouled and hit the shot. And as soon as he hit the shot and the whistle blew, basket good, foul, these two guys right at the end of the court just up. But it's like they didn't even communicate. They both knew. Did you notice that too, Rogue? They both just stood up and started walking. It's like, it's over.
It was just
a methodical, grind you down to dust performance by the Nuggets. And the Lakers just, mentally, they're cooked.
Yeah.
They got nothing.
It was just the look on their faces. Just perplexed, like I said earlier, the inevitability.
Yeah.
They're better than us. They're just better than we are, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Again, it's just, for Nugget fans of a certain age, this is just got to be like, pinch me. I'm dreaming. We absolutely own the LA Lakers. Own them. Lock, stock, and barrel.
It is straight out of Dodgeball. Global Gym. We're better than you, and we know it.
Michael Malone saying surviving the first half was key.
Being down four, Nikola not getting his third foul in the first half, those are two big wins. And now you go into halftime understanding, okay, let's get back to playing our brand of basketball. And again, there's so many things that we can clean up, but you know, as I learned from my father, I love cleaning things up after a win instead of a loss.
Now, even though we kind of expected that if the game was anywhere close in the second half that the Nuggets would assume control, but they did have to make sure it didn't get too out of hand in the first half. That's where Aaron Gordon comes in. Aaron Gordon was just a man possessed. The offensive rebounding, the dunks, the energy,
balls,
stepping in and playing the center role. With Jokic going out early with the fouls, which is a different role. And the versatility of Aaron Gordon, you know, whatever the role is, whatever is needed that night, his ability to just check any box you need is remarkable. And the way that this guy has settled into his Nugget career after being, what, the fourth overall pick in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
And was expected to be the superstar in Orlando? And that never materialized. For him to be able to come here and reinvent himself as a player, wow, can't say enough.
We're better than you,
and we know it.
It's not only that, and I know we look at Michael Porter Jr. with that sweet stroke, and he was just on it last night. I mean, he was on a heater. But man, I'm telling you what, the dude is playing hard. He's crashing the boards. He's getting rebounds. The dude had a double-double. Early, I think it was early in the fourth, he had a double-double, like 20 and 10.
Since the All-Star break, his career has jumped to that next level.
It really has.
I don't know how many more levels are left, but he definitely made that jump to the next level.
Michael Jr. Porter.
Coming out of the All-Star break. So, Nuggets up 3-0. This is the obligatory time where I say no team in the history of the NBA has ever come back from 3-0 down. And after looking at the body language of the Lakers, they aren't going to be the one. This thing is over on Saturday.
Second down.
Bo Nix. Bo Nix is now a Bronco after the Broncos took him with the second pick, or the 12th pick, excuse me, in the draft. And Nix kind of had a feeling he might be drafted by the Broncos after the Broncos worked him hard in the draft, pre-draft process.
Well, we talked a lot of football and we talked a lot about his scheme and what he's done for so many years and how he's been so successful. But it was a blast talking football, to be honest with you. It was a blast being in there with him and the other coaches. And they brought a lot of guys out there to the private, and I was just, very honored to have them around. I know it's tough to get to Eugene, but I was super excited, super thrilled to work with them. Had a blast, and you know, I definitely saw a great relationship there at that moment. So just happy to be a part of their team now.
And Sean Payton, happy to have Bo Nix.
His arm strength was extremely impressive. He does throw it from a noisy pocket. You know, some quarterbacks need that full stride step. And we felt like, you know, a lot of times he just took that little 2-inch pop step to get the ball out.
I'm seeing a lot of low grades.
Yeah.
For this pick. A lot of Nix was overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Went higher than he should have.
Sure.
Had a second round grade. For me, Mark, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, my optimism, my enthusiasm for this pick is entirely based on the idea that this is a Sean Payton fit.
Yes.
And that Sean sees Drew Brees in this guy.
Right.
Because otherwise, if it wasn't a Sean Payton pick, I don't know if I'd be that fired up about
Nix. I tell you one of the things he says about Nix all the time, it's he's praising Nix at the same time telling you why Russell Wilson isn't here. Like in his press conference, he talked about how he doesn't take many sacks. Yes, he doesn't run himself into trouble.
Yes, and I know.
Then he can throw from a noisy pocket. Uh-huh. He doesn't need a big step. Let's do a little acting really quick. Okay. You be Sean Payton, and you call me to tell me, and I'm Bo Nix, and you call me to tell me, you know, that you drafted me in the first round of the 12th overall pick.
Listen. Look. Bo. Listen. Not my hump. Hey, we picked you with the 12th pick in the draft. Welcome aboard.
Bo Nix is excited to be here, coach.
He doesn't talk that way.
Bo Nix, aced the test that you gave me. Bo Nix ready to be a starter in the National Football League, and I can't wait to continue to talk about football with you and all the other things we did in the workout and just take that to the next level because Bo Nix ready to go to Super Bowl.
You want Bo Nix so desperately to sound that way. He sounds like he's 18.
He sounds exactly
like a prepubescent teenager.
He sounds exactly like I just did. That was acting.
All right. Okay. Sure.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Meanwhile, the Avalanche is kind of kicking back. Able to watch the Nuggets last night. Able to watch the draft and prep for tonight's game 3 against Winnipeg back at home. The Avs did their job. They got the split in Winnipeg, and now they're back home where they have been the best team, the best home team in hockey, the highest home scoring hockey team in the NHL. And Jared Bednar, looking ahead to this game with still plenty of respect for what Winnipeg can bring.
The teams that made the playoffs are all really good teams, right? And this is a team that finished ahead of us in the standing. We consider ourselves a pretty good team. We know how deep they are. So that's what just goes back to, again, so you got to have a full team commitment in order to win, and then you got to go and play your best hockey at the key times, which is now. So 2 games doesn't cut it. It might take 7, and we have to be committed to doing that.
This is what I love about 7-game series. So game 2 was all about, all right, Avs, what are you made of? And they answered. Tonight, I'm pretty confident what we're going to get from the Avalanche. I think they're going to come out flying. Question to me is, all right, Winnipeg, what are you made of?
Yeah.
Because Connor Hellebuck, you haven't looked good through the first 2 games. And by the way, Avalanche fans, please, 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 please do the derisive Hellebuck. Hellebuck! Hellebuck chant.
More like Hellebutt.
Whatever, but, you know, they were gaining on Georgie from the beginning.
Underwhelming. Because I gave a dad joke.
They were all over Georgie. I'm calling on Avalanche fans to be chanting Hellebuck at the beginning of the game because he's got something to answer. And Winnipeg last year, remember, they won the first game of their playoff series with Vegas and then got steamrolled in the next 4. So they're carrying around some of their own personal demons. Let's see
what they're made of. Hellebutt. Hellebutt.
You know, I try to give this good hockey analysis and breakdown and insight, and Mark is doing dad jokes. But Rogue's laughing, so
I guess.
How about my hockey analysis? Was that spot on, huh?
We weren't listening to you. We were too busy giggling about Hellebutt.
That'll do it for 4 Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Well, hockey guy liked it. Hockey. Fan Flyaway is about the hoops as we're giving you a chance to head off to the Pro Basketball Championships in June. And, well, we certainly expect our team to be there. So then what you're looking at is two tickets to a game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a Eastern Conference destination to be determined, two nights hotel, and $500 of spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, getting those hot sports opinions off your chest, the Nuggets, the Avs, the draft. It's all coming up next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to react to, well, so much to react to. Nuggets snatching the Lakers' soul again last night, up 3-0. Avs, Winnipeg, game three tonight. Broncos drafting a Bo Nix. Have at it. Is it just me? Here's one. Is it just me, or was Peyton Manning part of the Broncos disinformation campaign touting J.J. McCarthy before the draft to panic the Vikings? So was that all misdirection? Was this a perfect example of, hey, pay attention to everything over here. Don't look over here. Because if you are to believe, and this was not a surprise, that Bo Nix apparently was the third quarterback on their board behind Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. So he was the top of the next group. That they loved Bo Nix from the beginning, pay no attention to the fact that he was the sixth quarterback taken. This was their guy. So do you, with the benefit of hindsight, Mark, believe that all the interest in J.J. McCarthy, remember when George Payton at the owners' meetings said, oh, gee, I wish that
Sean didn't say that
about our private workout, was that all just misinformation?
I think they did an incredible job of due diligence on all these guys. And I think they came out with the idea that, hey, man, the first two guys are off the board. So who is the best quarterback that fits what we want to do? And I think from day one, you know, after all the meetings and after all the evaluation, I think Bo Nix has been their guy. And I understand why. I understand why Bo Nix is their guy. I do. And it's all the ability to process, the ability to get the ball out of your hands quickly, not taking sacks, being accurate, putting the ball, like to put the ball, Mike, to put the ball in an area, right? To put the ball on target. You cannot be on target if you're not on time. You know, people talk about all the time, on target. Well, you can't be on target if you're not on time. If you're late with the football, guess what? You have errant throws, just like pitching. Your body gets ahead of your arm, the ball's going to go all over the place. So there's a process there. He is on time, on target, and the ball is out of his hand really quickly, which says two things. He's got a quick release, one, but he understands what he's looking at, and he makes a decision and just lets it fly. So I think those are the things, and again, you go back to what Sean Payton has done with Drew Brees, the success that they had. What is it about Drew Brees that made him so successful? Didn't take sacks, got the ball out of his hand really quickly, did it from the pocket, operated that way. Like, that's what Sean truly wants. And in all his kind of analysis, there were shots at the way Russell Wilson played. Now, I don't think it was necessarily intentional. Some of it was, because Sean is got some snarky ass wipe in him, right? As whippy. But as do I. So, you know, we're cut from the same cloth.
Birds
that way.
Of a feather, yeah.
Right. But there's no question that Bo Nix is the anti-Russell Wilson, and that was very appealing to Sean Payton.
Well, yeah, when you hear Sean talk about Bo Nix, and you understand very, very quickly why it wasn't a fit with Russ. And I think this is important. This is, it's about fit. And when you get a text like this on the RamosLaw.com text line, is it just me or you guys are really trying to promote that Peyton just outsmarted everyone else? Caleb, stupid. Daniels, give me a break. Drake May, oh my God. Penix, are you kidding me? J.J. McCarthy, sorry. Peyton got the QB he loves. Talk about pick a quarterback, any quarterback. Let's hear you defend this. And Sean, we trust. Are you serious? Well, yeah, it is. It is in Sean we trust. And that was always my take on this going into this draft, that I'm not a big believer in overdrafting quarterbacks, but in this case,
I believe in Sean Payton.
I do. Because how do you, on one hand, go out, identify Peyton as the guy you want, trade for him, give up a lot to get him, pay him a lot of money, give him all this power, and then sit back and say, but we don't want you to do what you want to do.
Right.
You don't. That's stupid. If this is the guy that he has handpicked, and when you hear him talk about Bo Nix, have we not learned enough about Sean Payton in the year he's been here about what he wants as a quarterback to be able to appreciate why he likes Nix? Here, just a quick little sampling here for you.
I said, look, I want to take all the intermediate short throws out. I want to see how he stacks. And so we got rid of all the quick screens, the bubbles, because he can't control. That's his offense when they're calling those plays. And remove all that. First in yards per completion. First and so it kept coming back. We have critical factors. You know, we don't want linebackers that can't tackle, receivers that can't. I mean, there's certain things that are musts.
Yes.
And I think it's hard. I think it's hard to be an NFL quarterback if you know you're not somewhat accurate. The first sign of an inaccurate quarterback is when you're throwing these shorter routes, because the ball's got to be on the right shoulder. It's got to be on the, you know, for the back. It's a little bit easier down the field to stretch the ball and maybe hide your accuracy deficiencies. And so, man, it was impressive.
And finally, the last thing he had to say after the private workout they did with Nix in Eugene.
I just remember we got in the car afterwards and I just looked around and I said, are you kidding me? I mean, he said, the other thing was, I was surprised how big he's 6'2", 218 pounds. You know, it's hard sometimes when you play on the West Coast, your games are on at 9 p.m.
Yeah, so yeah, the texture, yes. And Sean,
what do you want?
And Sean, you're going to have to trust.
Yeah, for the texture, or should I call you a Rusty? For the Rusty, I would just say, hey, listen, if it doesn't work out, if Bo Nix in 3 years isn't the franchise quarterback, then Sean Payton's going to get fired, and you're going to get your wish. Your wish will come true. Be like Disney World.
Oh, good for you.
So all those factors, and he's 100% right. And something that resonated with me that he said, and this is one of the things I said pre-draft, everybody gets, you know, their panties in a wad over a guy throwing a post down the field. Oh, look at the accuracy. Look at the arm talent and all that stuff. Dude, that's the easiest throw in football. You throw it. You just throw it out there and let the receiver run to it. You don't have to be accurate. You got to put it in an area and let the receiver run under it.
Whoop-de-doo, Basil.
It's the short passing game. It's the precise passing game. Being on time. Being on target. Being on the right shoulder. Giving your back a chance to run with the ball on a flag. Giving your receiver a chance. You know, throw him away from the leverage of the defender so the receiver can spin away and get extra yards. All that stuff has to do with ball placement. Inaccuracy. And I'm with Sean on that. Like, and I told you this when I evaluated him. When I went back and looked at three, I looked at three games. I didn't do what they did, but I looked at three games, and I thought Bo Nix, ball out, on time, accurately underneath, was the best at that in this draft.
What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Here we go, here we go. Nuggets putting on another just a clinic in believing in who they are, what they do, trusting it, and knowing, go ahead, Lakers, go out, have your fun for the first quarter. Go ahead, get run up and down the floor, get everybody excited, and then we're just going to flip the switch and grind you to dust.
They've got an identity. They know exactly who they are and the way they need to play. And I, for one, you know I'm a big identity guy. I love it.
Well, Michael Malone says it starts with their starting five.
That starting group, man, they've been through a lot of wars, and they're battle-tested. And every time we get down, we don't panic. We stay the course, and we find a way to get back in the game. And the crazy thing is, it's another game. We were spotted a 12-point lead, and we come back and win.
You know, you're right. You are a big identity guy, and identity culture, it's a living, breathing thing that needs to be cultivated. It needs to be grown. It needs to be nurtured. Michael Porter Jr., speaking more to that.
Man, it took some time. You got to give credit to the front office for, you know, the guys that they brought together, but also keeping guys together, being patient. You know, this organization wasn't a championship caliber organization for a long time, but, you know, slowly you build the team, and I feel like this organization was really organically built. You know, a lot of the guys that we have are guys that Denver has drafted and developed, and then, you know, you bring in certain pieces like Pope, Aaron Gordon, but I think the more years you have under your belt playing with the same guys, that goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. And not only the patience. And, you know, you look at Michael Porter Jr. had not been for the injuries. You know, Michael Porter Jr. is, you know, one of the top lottery pick guys. And you have a good enough team, and, like, you've got a good enough starting group that you can take a guy like that who had some growing pains, you know, who got sat down a couple times because he wouldn't play defense. You know, he had some injury issues, and this year, what, he played 81 games, and I mean, he's been lights out in these playoffs. You could make an argument. You and I were talking about this off air. You said you could make an argument he's been the second best player, you know, on this playoff run, this 3-0, you know, the 3-0.
Oh yeah,
start.
In this series, he's been the most consistent.
I would say Jokic, Aaron Gordon. Not that Aaron Gordon's always going to be a scorer, but Aaron Gordon's always going to play great defense. He's always going to be matched up defensively. He's going to rebound. He's going to be, you know, a guy that gets dunks and stuff like that. But yeah, like Michael Porter Jr.'s been right there.
So Bo Nix, you're now a Denver Bronco. Are you ready to step in and start right away?
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, everybody has to compete. I know everybody has to go to work. So, I mean, we haven't had any conversations thus far past just draft prep and obviously the recent, you know, draft pick. But other than that, I just can't wait to get around the locker room. Can't wait to get around the guys, meet all my new teammates, meet coaches, and get to work.
Okay, so why do you believe he's plug and play?
I just, one,
he played 12 years of college.
Yeah, he played 12 years of college football. And he's got, you know, he's got a lot of experience. And I heard James Palmer, I'll give James a lot of credit. Some coaches now are looking at this transfer portal and saying, man, it's benefiting quarterbacks because you go and you go wherever, but you're learning from different people, new systems. You know, different ways of explaining where we want to throw the ball based on the leverage we're getting. You know, same combination, same routes, same all that stuff, but you're getting it from different perspectives. And if a guy can go from one place and go to another place and have great success in that transition, then the guy's got the ability to learn new things. And so it's actually becoming somewhat of a plus, which, you know, is one of those things where I go, maybe I better rethink my, you know, portal stance.
Well, Bo Nix is well-traveled, Auburn, Oregon, but wherever he's gone, Sean Payton likes the way he throws the ball.
His arm strength was extremely impressive. He does throw it from a noisy pocket. You know, some quarterbacks need that full stride step, and we felt like, you know, a lot of times he just took that little two-inch pop step to get the ball out.
Do you believe that Bo Nix was Sean Payton's guy, meaning what if somebody had scooped Bo Nix up earlier, and by the time the Broncos got to the 12th pick, five quarterbacks had gone, and J.J. McCarthy was the last guy standing? Or five quarterbacks had gone, and Drake May had dropped? Do you believe that Sean would have taken whoever was left standing?
I believe if that would have been the scenario, that they would have traded back. Now, maybe Drake May has just got such, you know, a high ceiling. Maybe they would have tried to go that direction. But I really do believe that. Now, you know, I didn't like Drake May, so I really do believe that Bo Nix was the guy that he was most impressed with after they spent all the time they spent evaluating these quarterbacks. I really do.
Finally, not finally, like, you know, maybe saving the best for last, how you want to look at it. The Avalanche ready to go back to work tonight, as they've had a couple of days to enjoy their season series tie-in win in Winnipeg. Game 3 coming up tonight, and Alexander Georgiev will be back between the pipes for Jared Bednar.
There's been a lot of belief from our room that he's got that within him, even though he's gone through this recent slump at the end of the year. And, you know, we talked about it as a team. It wasn't just him. It was our whole team. And if you didn't have to back up very far to the point where we were 9-1 coming out of the deadline, and Gorgie was playing every game and saving above expected in all those games.
Are you confident Alexander Georgiev, and I'm asking this question to you, but I guess I'm asking it also to all the Avalanche fans out there. Are you confident Alexander Georgiev is through his slump?
No. But he's trending in the right direction. But I do think that that's fragile. We've watched him enough over the last, you know, 4 weeks of the season to know that that's a precarious position he stands at, or he stands on. So am I confident? No. Am I confident that he's trending in the right direction? Yes. But am I totally confident that, hey, man, we're on the right path now? No, I'm not.
Fan Flyaway is back. We had such fun, so much success with the one in February out to Vegas. Doing it again in June is you're going to give somebody a chance to go out and see the basketball championships in June. You'll get two tickets to a game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, two nights hotel, and we'll throw in $500 of spending money. Just go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered that last Fan Flyaway, good news, you're automatically entered for this one and all future Flyaway contests. It's a Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. Tons of reaction to
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Enjoy, cherish, clutch it tight to your bosom these next 14 minutes with Mark, because you got to scoot to take care of some business.
Mm-hmm.
So Cecil Lammy is on deck. He's warming up in the bullpen, working himself
did he
into
slept last night.
No, he did not. No, we did not. So I can't wait to...
Okay, let's keep a chart in there, okay? You guys ready? Johnny, I need you to take this down. How many times over the last 2 hours of the show, Cecil says supercomputer? Okay, just write that down and just keep a check mark tally for me.
We'll play the supercomputer drinking game.
Yeah, don't tell Cecil what we're doing, but just how many times he says supercomputer. I used to do this with the late, great John Clayton. Johnny Clayton had a couple of buzz phrases, and I did a draft one year in New York on the radio with John Clayton, and we had a but also two count. How many times he'd always give you an also two, but also two. And so it would be both sides of the fence. Like, so I'll play John Clayton. All right. It'd be something like this. Let's just reference like Bo Nix, okay? Bo Nix has a quick release, and he's the most accurate quarterback in NCAA history. But also, too, he wasn't good at Alabama. I mean, at Auburn, you know? And so he'd throw an also two in there, and like, you can never be wrong. Ever.
Inconceivable.
So for Cecil, it's how many times does he use supercomputer?
All right. We'll look forward to that.
Okay.
In the meantime, it's an Is It Just Me Friday. Is It Just Me on the RamosLive.com text line. If Sean Payton hadn't taken a quarterback, you guys would have been all over him for not taking what we need most.
No, I wouldn't have. You're completely wrong. My dream scenario was to trade back, get a football player, and take a guy later.
When you look at Peyton's motivation in all this, and I think this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Sean came here, and what was one of the first things we heard from him? About how important it is for him to go to the Hall of Fame, about how important it is for him to become the first coach to win Super Bowls with two different teams.
Right.
He understands, trust me, he understands that if this doesn't work in Denver,
mm-hmm.
his chances of going somewhere else and being given the same kind of power and being given the same kind of chance to go out and get that Super Bowl and lock down that Hall of Fame berth is going to be much more difficult. So coming into this process, adopting and inheriting Russell Wilson, trust me, his eyes were wide open. And he does not pick a guy like Bo Nix unless he is, in his mind, never mind what you think out there, what I think, what you think, in his mind, he's not going to take a guy like Bo Nix just as a flyer. There's too much at stake.
Correct.
There's too much for him to lose to just pick a guy, any guy.
Here's the other thing he knows. Dude, this is the last stop.
Correct.
Once the train, like once the train stops moving, he gets out. He's not getting back on the train. So let's say it doesn't work out. And 4 years from now, they go in a different direction. What's going to happen to Sean? He'll be 64. What's going to happen to him? Do you think people will be clamoring to jump right back on the train? No, they won't.
After he just was unsuccessful in Denver and whiffed on the guy
that he picked.
That he picked a quarterback.
And you know he's got complete and total control of that, right? You know he says, this is where we're going. And, you know, George Payton says, aye, aye, Captain. So what do you think is going to happen? If Bill Belichick can't get a job in this cycle, you think Sean's going to get a job in this cycle?
Right.
So this is the last stop, man. You got nowhere else to go. And like the hirings, do you think the hiring cycle all of a sudden are going to go, yeah, you know what we value now? Older, more experienced guys. It's always what's, you know, the fresh young face, the young guy that can communicate. You know, that it's all that garbage. It's false, but it's the way it is. So like, he's not going somewhere else and getting another opportunity. I just don't believe that. I think this is it. You're either going to win your next Super Bowl, you're going to cement your legacy, you're going to be the only coach to ever win it in, you know, with two different teams, in two different conferences, with two different quarterbacks. You're going to be the guy.
Another one, is it just me, or did the Broncos just settle for the sixth best quarterback in this draft? See, I hate that. Sorry, Texter. I get why you say it. But this notion, this is part of the fallacy, the myth that is the NFL draft, is you buy into the rankings and where they're drafted and the absolute nature of where a guy is drafted. Well, if the guy is drafted first, he's got to be better than the guy that was drafted third, who's got to be better than the guy that was drafted sixth. Really? Have you not paid attention to the draft? Have you not paid attention to the fact that Mitch Trubisky went number two when Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson went, what, 11 and 12?
Yeah.
Have you not paid attention to the fact that Baker Mayfield went one, Sam Darnold went three, Josh Rosen went 10
nine,
and Lamar Jackson went at the end of the first round?
Right, 32.
Stop getting caught up in this and understand that of these six quarterbacks, forget about the order that they were drafted, and just understand this. Of these six quarterbacks that went in the top 12, one will be great, two will be good, three will be busts. That is just, I guarantee you, that is what's going to happen with these six quarterbacks. Now, who ends up being great? Who ends up being a bust? Who ends up just merely being good? I can't tell you for sure right now. Nobody can. And anybody who tries to tell you they know, they don't know. But that's what's going to happen with these six quarterbacks.
On the surface,
and you just hope that the Broncos got the right guy.
On the surface, based on fit and based on, you know, on coaching and where they ended up, I think Bo Nix has the best chance of being the star. There's a lot of bust potential in Chicago. The history of Chicago quarterbacks, the weather, the fact that you have a defensive coach that you're not 100% sold on, new coordinators. Washington, you've got a quarterback who's frail and skinny, who's had some, you know, issues, takes a lot of hits, that said he wants to be the best running quarterback ever. Drake May is from North Carolina and has just is not, in my opinion, impressive. I could be wrong. I mean, I could be wrong on all those things, but and again, a defensive-minded coach right off the bat. And then he's got Cliff Kingsbury, who, you know, is an offensive coordinator who was, or no, that's in Washington. He's got Cliff Kingsbury, right? In New England. What do you got in New England? Another defensive coach. By the way, the first three coaching staffs led by defensive guys. Chicago, Washington, and New England. How does that go for developing quarterbacks usually? So I don't know. You don't know. None of us know what's going to happen here. I do know this. There are some guys, based on where you go, where you get drafted, how it works out, there are some guys who hit their stride in college and they don't amount to much in the NFL. And there are some guys that haven't even scratched the surface until they get into the NFL. And that's where they hit their stride. That's where they become great.
Texter asks, if George Payton was in charge, do you guys think he makes this pick? No, because I think Russell Wilson is still here. If George Payton is still in charge.
They're still trying to figure it out?
Yeah.
One of the reasons I took this job is because of Vic Fangio.
Seriously, if George Payton was still in charge.
Right. Yeah, because
And Sean Payton hadn't been hired. And it was George Payton who got a chance to go out and hire his coach again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, Nathaniel Hackett may still be here.
Mm.
Okay, maybe not. But let's say George got to hire the next guy.
Yeah, because George fired Nathaniel Hackett.
Yes.
2 games before the end of the season.
Correct. But let's say George Payton had a chance to, was still in charge. He's not in charge anymore. Let's say George Payton was still in charge. I think Russ is still here.
Yeah.
Because as the general manager who traded for Russell Wilson and gave him all that money, right, you don't want to be the one to admit the mistake. So, no.
Yeah, his coach?
Who is the coach?
Pete Carroll.
Oh, that would have been great.
That's rich.
Oh, that would have been great.
That's rich.
That would have been great. There's no way anybody can come out and say the Broncos got it right with Bo Nix. You can't.
No.
You can't. Just like you can't come out and say the Bears got it right with Caleb Williams. The Commanders got it right with Jaden Daniels. The Patriots got it right with Drake May. Minnesota got it right with J.J. McCarthy. Atlanta got it right with Mike. You can't say it. I know that people are going to be saying that for the next several days and weeks and months. You don't know. They don't know. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you got people coming on this text line and saying, the Broncos got it wrong. The Broncos got it right. The Broncos should have taken this guy. You don't know either. If the people who are in charge of NFL teams don't know, and they don't know,
right,
they don't know. They're hoping they picked the right guy, but they don't know that they got the right guy. Then the only thing I can base my hope on, Mark, is this. This was an important pick for Sean Payton. This is a potentially career defining legacy pick for Sean Payton, and because it's pretty obvious that you can see the comparisons to Drew Brees in Bo Nix's game, then that's where I put my hope. That's what I base my hope upon. That's it.
You got him starting from day one?
Oof.
I already said yes.
He should.
Absolutely.
Right? He's the same age as Zach Wilson. He should be the starter.
And he's way more mature. Right?
Right.
Gotta be.
But if he, put it this way, if he's not starting week one, he's starting by week six. Stidham or Wilson they're your classic bridge guy until week five or six, or until the doctor nicks Zach Wilson's lung. Like right. was the case in L.A. with Herbert. Because Tyree, he wasn't supposed to start. Tyrod Taylor was supposed to start for the first 5 or 6 weeks until a doctor nicked Tyrod Taylor's lung, right? Was his lung?
Yeah, he was shooting his ribs up.
Yeah.
That's why they don't like to shoot your ribs up. Yeah. And he actually punctured his lung with a syringe. Like,
oops, you can't go. Put Herbert in there and then
I can't breathe anymore.
We never saw Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Do you think Sean Payton outbluffed the Vikings? Because the Vikings traded up for J.J. McCarthy, and James Palmer tweeted that McCarthy was never high on the Broncos.
Yeah.
Unless they always fell in love with Bo Nix.
I don't think they bluffed him. I think J.J. McCarthy was always Minnesota's guy. And so
then if they're afraid of another team, because they traded up one spot to draft, and the Jets aren't going to draft McCarthy.
Yeah, but they don't know the conversations that the Broncos are having either,
or the Raiders are having.
So yeah, I don't necessarily think that that's the way it was. I think they pictured a guy, got a guy, and said we want to go get this guy, and it's not going to cost us all that much to trade up for a couple picks.
Payton talked about this, by the way. All the Sean Payton stuff we're talking about is his conversation with Pat McAfee and Bill Belichick last night. Was that idea that all right, maybe the Broncos overdrafted Nix at 12. You could have got him later. Well, Payton says, read the room. You saw this run going on quarterbacks. We had to grab him there.
I think the biggest thing is trust in what you're seeing. And I say that respectfully. Everyone has jobs to do. And it's always like, well, manage the draft. This is, you know, they could have backed up and got him. And I heard that with Patrick Mahomes when Kansas City took him. And I'm like, well, they couldn't have backed up and got him because we were taking him with the next pick.
Yeah.
You can't help but look around and say, we like Bo Nix, and maybe in a perfect world we trade back to 22 and take him, but when we're seeing five quarterbacks go in the first 10 picks,
yeah,
and this we can't run the risk of trading back.
You know, I used to say this all the time when I was on ESPN. If you really love a guy and you think that is your guy, regardless of position, and you think that guy's going to be a great NFL player, then who gives a rip if you grab him at 12 as opposed to where he should have gone at 21 or 18? Like, I never really understood that philosophy. If he's your guy, take him. If you love him, take him.
You got to go.
Yes.